Welcome to Casual Fridays with me, Jerry Davich, and Karen Walker and Dan Clark. On today's show, we welcome back into our humble studio the Most Reverend Bishop Donald Hine, who will join us with his insights on our topics and expand on the efforts of the Diocese of Gary to conduct its first ever synod to address numerous issues facing the Catholic Church. Also, with the 2016 presidential election, we discovered something surprising. The digital age and social media expression is leading us to form political impressions based on snippets of information from multiple sources multiple times a day. We'll explore that with Susanna Flores. And we'll talk with Adam O'Brien and Stephen Schultz, a couple of pinball wizards who are heading to the Flippin' State Championship this Saturday to compete for a chance to get to the Nationals next month. All that and more after these brief news headlines. Stay tuned, folks.
Oh, it's Casual Friday.
Casual Friday, what does that mean?
That means we just dress like we would at home.
But you're not at home.
No, but it is Casual Friday, so.
Yeah, I know, you told me that already. What do you do on Casual Friday?
Well, we just come into our work, but we dress casually.
I don't like it.
Well, it's just one day of the week.
I don't give a damn if it's half a day a week. I don't like it.
Getting better.
I'm getting better.
Welcome to Casual Fridays with Jerry Davich, me, Karen Walker, and him, Dan Clark. Our show and the Lakeshore are supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency in Hobart and Gary, providing coverage for matters most.
Yep, and if you miss any part of today's show, it's re-aired 7 o'clock tonight and posted online, lakeshorepublicmedia.org. You can find all of our previous shows, including ones like today's that are featuring, you think, ordinary region residents doing pretty extraordinary things.
With the 2016 presidential election, we discovered something surprising. The digital age and social media expression is leading us to form political impressions based on snippets of information from multiple sources at multiple times
a
day.
You know, we live in the digital age. We don't think that too often, but we really do. Most of my life is digital. I'm not even here right now, I don't think. Or so says, anyway, Susanna Flores. She's a clinical psychologist who is, she authored the book, if you recall, and she was on our show a couple of years ago, Facehooked, How Facebook Affects Our Emotions, Relationships, and Lives. But because of this new disturbing social media trend in the divided states of America, as I call it, it's causing us to become cognitively programmed to function out of schemes, so to speak, Flora says. And we'll explore that on today's show.
We also want to welcome back in our humble studio the Most Reverend Bishop Donald Hine, who has blessed us again with his presence at Lakeshore Public Radio.
Woohoo!
I know! The bishop will join us with his views and insights on our topics today, and also to expand on the ongoing efforts of the Diocese of Gary to conduct its first ever synod to address numerous issues facing the Catholic Church.
And also, since the bishop is here, we're going to put him on our show called Inside the Casual Friday Studio and ask him some offbeat questions that he has never been asked before.
I'm sweating already.
It's the truth, sir. Later in the show, we'll talk with Adam O'Brien of Highland and Stephen Schultz of Portage, who are not your typical pinball wizards after getting addicted to flipping in their 30s, not in their childhood.
That may be true, but they'll be heading to the Flippin' State Championship this Saturday to compete for a chance to get to the national tournament next month. Jerry's Friday's column touches on how they bounced into this position and tips for newcomers.
Yep, check it out in today's Post Tribune. Plus, the National Retail Federation says the typical sweetheart will spend $137 on Valentine's
Day
this year.
That's a lot of money.
And I'm saying,
Wow.
I don't know about that.
I don't know. Yeah, that's a lot. All that and more in today's unofficially blessed show. If you want to join the discussion or offer a counterview to ours, feel free to call in at 769-9577. But first...
That's right. Don't be shy, by the way, folks.
Shy.
We always tell you that. We want to welcome Susanna Flores to the show. Susanna, welcome back to Casual Fridays.
It's glad to be here. Happy Friday.
Fridays to you, as a matter of fact. Susanna, we had you here a couple of years ago on the show for their wonderful Facehooked book, which looks at the sensation of Facebook and how we use it and it uses us. But I also right at the top of my head there, Susanna. But, you know, I know you're working on... Well, President Trump has changed everything in the context of our country and also changed social media norms. And you're tapping into that with a TED Talk you were kind of putting together. And I wanted you to explore a little bit more on that on today's show because I'm writing about it for my Sunday column in the Post Tribune. Give Casual Fridays listeners an idea of what you mean.
Well, before the age of social media, we would primarily form our political impressions based on political debates, right? And we would live vicariously through moderators. This is where we obtained the majority of our information. We also relied on the press to let us know what's happening. But since the dawn of social media, we obviously have more connections, even to the point that there's a democratization of the voter. So we can connect with President Trump directly if we want to. Like, we can make our opinions known. And people are certainly doing that on Twitter. And what the main shift that has happened is that we're obtaining more of our information for ourselves, based on, as you put it, like brief snippets of information. So the more connections we have, basically, that's leading us to obtain more information. And the more information we have, the more time and effort is involved in reading through all of this information. And that leads to less fun time. And so, therefore, we need shortcuts, right? But the shortcuts are causing us to react out of, let's say, headlines or a 140-character Twitter post and make assessments because of the information we have. We're inundated and we're fatigued. We don't have most of us don't have the time to read everything that's coming our way. Make sense?
Or we don't want to, or we don't choose to.
I think
for a lot of Americans, because I think we're essentially a lazy species in general and a lazy culture, is that we would prefer these shortcuts because it's easier and it's faster. And it kind of meshes with our ideological viewpoint. In a way.
Yes.
Like if we see something that we resonate with, we're just going to gravitate toward that.
Right. And that's not a social media phenomenon in particular. Like if you're a part of a team, you want information that supports your team and you dismiss the rest. The phenomenon that I'm noticing, though, is that the way social media is structured, it's fitting very nicely into mental schemas, which are basically mental categories that we have to filter all this information so that they make sense, right? So, for example, a mental schema for a U.S. president is male, wealthy, powerful.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Anything that doesn't fit into that schema, we immediately suspect, or we dismiss, or we ignore, or we fight against. And because the short snippets of information help us categorize something, we like it. We're drawn to it. So, like, we even continue the schemas through, let's say, the hashtags, like hashtag deplorable, hashtag nasty woman, hashtag fake news, and we're absorbing this as fact, right? And that's where the problem lies. Is that we're categorizing, and it certainly makes us less mentally fatigued, but we're also becoming more confused and more anxious based on the multiple sources at multiple times during the day. It's too much information, so to speak.
Well, we're getting information.
It's also making us less critical, like less critical thinkers.
I was just going to say, less critical thinking. I think that's what we're missing, is the critical thinking aspect of things on social media. We react to it maybe emotionally from our gut and less... Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we have the Bishop Donald Hyng is in the studio with us, and I was going to ask him, when I was talking to him earlier, you mentioned to me, Bishop, that your Facebook account, the one you had, is no more. I mean, you were using it on a daily basis, and were you reaching people with that?
I was reaching many people, interacting with people, and one day it just went poof. It just disappeared, and discovered that Facebook reserves the right to pull your page, and they don't have to tell you that they're doing it. They don't even have to tell you why, you know, but... Apparently there was a complaint of some kind.
What?
So, who would complain about the bishop?
That's
if the
crazy.
Facebook gods pull your page and
oh
not my
gosh.
Page, that must show something in the universe.
But I do think there's an important point here, that there's just a radical oversimplification of issues that are very complex. And part of that is it gives us an ease in terms of making a snap decision, whether it is to vote or to like a particular politician or leader. But what it's taking away from us is just the realization that life is complex and that we need to be humble in our assessment, because so often I will say, when somebody asks me my opinion, I don't have enough information to have an informed opinion on this. And to me, that's refreshing to say and to hear.
How often do you hear it?
Not often enough.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Susanna, how often do you hear that kind of
reflection? Not often at all.
Yeah.
Not often at all, exactly.
No, most people just tell me that, you know, because of the inundation of information, they just rely on what's familiar to them. So if you're an NBC person, you tend to stick with that. If you're a Fox person, you tend to stick with that because it's too overwhelming.
But that's deductive instead of inductive, right? So it's like I've already reached my conclusions, and then I look for the facts that support the conclusion.
Right. And even before that, people will forward it because there is a lot of validation that happens when people like your post. So if you like a post, you think your friends are going to like a post, which is most likely true.
True.
So you forward it without doing the investigation. Mm-hmm. And due to recent posts, unfortunately, because there is this suspicion of the free press now, people kind of just, you know, believe that their whichever news source supports or leans towards their team, they are going to defend it no matter what, and they're going to dismiss any other claims. And so we're losing that critical thinking aspect, and we're becoming more and more cognitively rigid. And as with anything emotional or even mental, any level of rigidity affects your ability to adjust and reassess and reflect. And so therefore, the anxiety, the hypervigilance, the paranoia, the anger.
And so
people are becoming more reactive based on these brief snippets of information.
If you're just tuning in now, you're listening to Casual Fridays. Jerry, Karen, and Dan, our special guest in the studio, is the Bishop Donald Hine, and we're talking with Susanna Flores.
Wrong.
That was just Donald.
I thought
Big Brother was already with us already. Yeah. The question I have for you, Susanna, is do you think social media is rewiring our political impressions? I mean, it is. It flat out is. And it has been, of course, the last few months and possibly years, but especially these days because we're leading by example from the White House.
Absolutely. I don't believe we're going to go back to just trusting the debates and making an assessment based on the debates. Our world has changed. And, you know, we're becoming more and more connected. And in my book, I argue, you know, with more connection, we're becoming less connected, you know, to each other, meaning that we're having less direct communication, face-to-face communication, or understanding. And we're processing the majority of our information through social media, especially the younger generations, the millennials. This is what they've grown up with. So they, you know, they meet, they date, they assess, they discuss everything on social media. And so the digital age and modern politics are going to be synonymous now, right? So any future candidate has to really have a very strong presence in social media. And my main concern, of course, is for the office of the presidency and what's happening with our current president is that, you know, there's information that simply cannot be conveyed through 140 characters. It's impossible. And yet it's happening. And that's the, you know, that for me personally, based on what I wrote and what I predicted, it's my worst nightmare materialized in terms of what the current president is doing on social media.
Interesting.
Because people are reactive. And I think it's going to cause a lot of damage.
I view regarding social media that former President Obama kind of took off this plane using social media as a wonderful platform to reach people, but it kind of got hijacked by the current president. That's the metaphor I'm sticking with anyway, and he's using this. He knows it works. I mean,
absolutely. And even President Trump said that he believes Twitter got him elected, and I agree with him.
Exactly.
I think he's absolutely right. I have no issue with the president using it as long as it's used appropriately. And by that, I mean, like, okay, please check out this article or please look at this interview, like giving us a segue to get more information. But if you're saying something in 140 characters with an exclamation point at the end, coming from the most powerful man on the earth, we're going to react.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to shop at Nordstrom's ever again, just from that recent tweet. You convinced me.
Right.
So I guess what can be done at this point, which is what a question I asked in my column, can social media be used to build welcoming bridges as well as isolating walls? Can it be used as much to connect with others as to attack others? And should we blame our president by leading by the wrong example, or are we responsible for our own actions multiple times a day?
We are responsible for our own actions. In my book, Facehooked, I mentioned that, you know, Facebook or social media doesn't hurt people. People hurt people, right? And so with power comes responsibility. And I love social media. I'm a fan. But it has to be used appropriately. So I think that if we're open-minded, we don't take everything as super fact just because it's on the internet. And we try to be respectful of each other's opinions. I know that that's a whole other issue, right?
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, also, you know, we got to stop with the Twitter wars or the Facebook wars. We're not going to change people's minds. right? Like, you're not going to join my team and you're not going to convince me to join your team. Most, or it's very rare. It's possible, but it's very, very rare. And I think there is a huge responsibility of retweeting and sharing articles and information based on trusted, non-biased news sources as, you know, to the best of our ability. And we also have to see, like, you know, what he's doing, in my personal opinion, just, you know, as a clinician. He is systematically planting the seed of doubt in for the free press so that we could only believe what he is saying, right? And it's very dangerous.
It doesn't bode well for us, Susanna, does it?
I could imagine. No.
I can imagine. Well, tell you what, if you want to hear more about this, these theories and this whole issue, is I'm writing about it in Sunday's Post-Tribune. You can check it out and on my webpage soon. Susanna, thank you so much for your time. We love you having
thank
on our
you.
Show.
Mm-hmm. I love being on your show. Thank
oh,
you.
Great. All right. Thank you.
All right. Have a good weekend.
You too. Take care.
All right. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Folks, listen to Casual Fridays. Tell you what, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk with the most reverend, not just the reverend, the most reverend, Bishop Donald Hine, who has blessed us again with his presence in the studio, about some ongoing efforts at the Diocese of Gary. And also, we're going to have a little fun inside the Casual Fridays studio, asking him every question he's never been asked before. Stay tuned, folks.
Programming support comes from NIPSCO, powering Northwest Indiana through winds, storms, and anything else that knocks the power out. Text OUT to 444-111 to report a power outage. Standard text and data rates apply. Visit NIPSCO.com to learn more.
Programming is supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agent, works to select coverage that provides financial security and peace of mind for what matters most. Offices in Hobart, 942-WEST, and in Gary, 939-9006. Casual Fridays is supported by Your Values Magazine, bringing local businesses, original articles, puzzles, and the front cover kit contest to residents throughout Crown Point, Valparaiso, and the Tri-Town areas. Additionally, Your Values Magazine now carries a feature column by me, Jerry Davich. More information available at yourvaluesonline.com.
Yo, what up? This is Sinbad. You guys listen to Casual Fridays. I mean, like real casual, like sitting in your underwear and your socks. You're hanging out with Jerry Davich and Karen Walker, all right? Cooling out, man, on the Friday, which actually turns into a Saturday and then until Sunday. Then it's back to work on Monday. We ain't talking about that.
We ain't talking about that,
no,
Karen.
No, we're not.
That was Sinbad, by the way.
Welcome to Casual Fridays with Jerry, Karen, Dan. Our show and the Lake Show are supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency in Hobart and Gary, providing coverage when matters most.
Yep, and if you miss any part of our show, any part that is, you can check it out again. 7 o'clock tonight, it's re-aired on the Lake Shore and posted on our website soon and all on my social media sites also. We're welcoming back into the studio. It's a very cramped little studio, is it not, Bishop Don?
It's perfect.
It's cozy.
It is cozy. It's cozy here at Lakeshore. But our special guest, of course, is the Reverend Bishop Donald Hine from Diocese of Gary, who I've loved since I've talked to on the phone with you like 2 years ago before you even came to this area. I just developed some kind of connection. I'm sure you get it with thousands of people, but heck, you got it with me too. So this is the second time I believe you've been on the show.
That's right.
The first time we did not ambush you well enough with being inside the Casual Friday studio, as we call it. It's a reflection of Inside the Actor Studio with James Lipton, who we like to watch a lot, where he asks a lot of fun, kind of offbeat questions to his famous celebrity guests. And so we're going to ask some of these similar questions to our famous celebrity guests.
Can I ask the first question?
Would you please, Dan Clark?
What's your favorite word?
Surly. Surly is just a great word. It applies to a lot of occasions and situations. S-U-R-L-Y.
I like
means,
it.
You know, ill-natured, right?
That would be the last word on the list. I would have predicted for the bishop to say his favorite word. Karen, you have a couple other questions.
Okay, well, these are kind of fashioned to the way Jim is lifting. He welcomes his guests. We welcome you. Hello. So he always starts with, where were you born?
I was born in West Allis, Wisconsin, which is a western suburb of Milwaukee.
And what are your parents' names?
Albert Jr. and Catherine.
And what do they do for a living?
My dad, I grew up on a farm in southwest Wisconsin, never went to high school, was needed on the farm, was drafted into World War II, ends up on Guam, guarding Japanese POWs. I guess once you've seen Guam, you don't want to stay on the farm. So after the war, he came to Milwaukee, worked at a factory. My mother was a nurse at the factory where he worked. He dropped something heavy on his foot in August of 51, has to go see the nurse. That's how they met.
Get out.
Wow.
So I would say I wouldn't be here if my dad hadn't hurt his big toe. He said that the first time he saw her, he knew he was going to marry her.
Really?
And he kept pretending his toe still hurt so he could go back and,
that's
see the
nurse. That's a sweet story.
Yeah, and they were married the next June.
Really?
So, yeah.
You know, we hear that with people. They see somebody and they just instinctively know for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. How do you attribute that? We'll get back to Karen's question in a second. I'm always tangenting off. I mean, how do you attribute that when somebody, when they meet, so to speak? Is it a godly thing? Is it a random fate thing? Is it, you know? How do they equate it?
Yeah, my dad said, you know, it was just inspiration. He felt it was from God.
He
that
did.
God told him, this is the person I'm going to marry.
Wow.
My mother didn't say the same thing. I mean, I think, but still, they were married within 10 months of meeting each other.
Wow.
So it obviously didn't take long.
Amazing story. Yeah. See, thanks for asking that, Karen. I never thought of asking that question.
Now, we're going to segue to adulthood. Now, you don't watch TV now, and we understand that. But as a kid, did you watch TV, and what was a favorite show?
Probably Gilligan's Island.
Aww, 3-hour tour.
Yeah, all the good ones, right? Gilligan's Island, Beverly Hillbillies, Brady Bunch.
Right. I love it.
I Dream of Jeannie.
Do you have a food guilty pleasure? Like, do you like Ho-Ho's or Twinkies or Zingers or deep dish pizza or...
Pretty much everything, and that's the problem. I would say anything Italian is right
there.
Oh,
yeah. Absolutely. What was the last movie you saw?
Last movie I saw was Silence, actually, which is Martin Scorsese's new film.
Right.
It's about two Jesuit priests in Japan in the 16th century.
Where did you see that?
Theater in Merrillville.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was playing there.
It was a box office bomb, unfortunately.
Oh.
I think there were 7 people in the theater the night I saw it. But wonderful film. It should win some awards.
Interesting.
It explores a lot of issues, you know, religious faith, betrayal, complexity of moral issues, all of that.
Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm going to cut you off again, Karen. I have another question for the bishop. You're wearing a collar right now, and you have the cross around your neck, which you have tucked into your pocket so it doesn't bounce around, I'm assuming, right?
That's right.
How often do you wear this so people recognize you as a bishop or a priest in public versus casual?
Yeah, I wear this whenever I'm doing my ministry, my job. I don't wear this. I don't wear it to bed when I sleep. So I don't have like a pajamas version of this.
A little collar and a pajama.
Oh, that's right. Thank you.
And also, on my day off, I'll just, you know, dress like Joe Schmo.
Do you have a preference?
Do you
act differently in this kind of uniform as such with a collar versus a casual khakis and a Hawaiian shirt and you're bouncing around the beach or something?
Yeah.
And the reason I ask you this is because I act differently in different way I'm dressed. If I'm dressed up, so to speak, I think I act more stiff and formal and professional. And when I'm not, which I'm usually not, I'm more low-key and informal. Does that react?
I think
all,
because
no?
I wear this so much, I mean, it's really my life, there probably isn't much difference.
I see.
Because I'm actually more comfortable wearing my clerics than not.
Okay.
So when I'm not wearing my clerics, it almost seems a little weird.
Oh, I'll bet it does.
Yeah.
That's why I asked that.
But it's comfortable.
It is, and it looks comfortable, too.
Yeah.
Even the collar's not too tight?
No, if I lose 10 pounds, it gets even better. So I can always tell if I'm packing it on.
It's like a tight pair of jeans up there, isn't it?
That's right. That's right.
All right.
All right. What was the last text you sent? And to who?
Sent it to Jerry 10 minutes before I came here saying I'm on my way.
Oh.
Does that count?
Well, I
that
guess
counts,
kind of
yeah.
It does, yeah.
What is your drink of choice?
Alcoholic, any kind of beer, really. But I like lemonade. You had lemonade last time we were together.
Yeah, the bishop and I met at Industrial Revolution earlier this week. Mm-hmm. We caught up on a few things.
Is that a restaurant?
It is.
Oh,
it's a
Valparaiso
on US 30. I had a pizza. And then the bishop ordered this meal. It was like a meatloaf dinner, and he had a little American flag sticking out of it. And when I sat across the table from him, I saw this Midwestern meal, this American flag sticking up. He had a craft beer in front of him. He had the cross and the chain. And I go, this is like a Catholic little visual right here.
God, country, meatloaf. What else do you need?
Everything
right?
was fitting, and a nice beer. It all just fit together, I thought.
When was the last time you were really nervous?
Besides right now? No, I'm fine.
Do you get nervous?
Yeah.
No, I think in certain situations, it's hard to confront people, so sometimes I have to have difficult meetings, you know, where I have to challenge somebody and something they're doing or not doing.
You got to be a boss at times, don't you?
That's right. Yeah. And depending on the audience or congregation at Mass, like my installation mass, I was nervous. Cardinal George was there.
That's true.
Hundreds of people were there. I mean, that's a little different than normal mass.
That is different. When you do give a mass, do you generally get, I mean, this, I'm imagining that is in your element because you do it so well. You do it, it looks effortless, Bishop. Yeah. It really does. I've been to a couple of them. And are you kind of a little bit simmering?
I'm always a little nervous, and I think that's good because it keeps you on your toes.
It does. Sure. You don't get complacent.
If you're totally relaxed, you'd probably end up kind of flubbing it. But just being a little bit off in terms of comfort, I think keeps us, you know, going.
Do you get nervous in any other settings besides professional settings?
Not really, no. Flying can bug me sometimes if there's really bad turbulence. I've been on bad air flights, but I'll get on with my collar and people say, oh, I feel so much better. There's a place on here. I say, that doesn't help me at all. You know, like me being with me at this moment doesn't make me feel better.
I never thought of that, but you're right. You know, you do bring a presence with you, Bishop. Mm-hmm. You really do. I mean, even the first time I met you, and I don't know if it's, I don't think it's any collar. I mean, any priestly presence. Mm-hmm. And I've been with other pastors and stuff. And honestly, the big joke that Karen tells me is, most of my best friends, closest friends, are people of the collar and pastors and, you know, really believers who were serious about this. And I always wonder the same questions. Do you, you wouldn't know how things are different when you're not there because you're not there because you're always there. So when you walk in a door and people always treat you the same way, but we know when you're not and people do act differently around you.
I talk about how we create our own news in some ways, right?
Exactly.
So I always say I kind of live in a bubble because most people I encounter are practicing Catholics who are probably going to be on their best behavior because the bishop is around.
Exactly. That's my point.
So I have to be undercover boss someday.
Yes, you should.
Yeah.
I want to see the costume. It'd be the Gary Mayer, Karen Freeman Wilson did that. Did you happen to see that?
I didn't see it,
but you heard about it?
I heard about it.
She had a wacky wig on and whatever it was.
Heavy makeup.
So I'd love to see the bishop dressed up in some kind of
that would be great, actually.
Yeah, undercover bishop.
I'd have to change my voice because people say you can never get away with making a prank phone call because I have a distinct voice.
It's a bishop.
Is your refrigerator running? Bishop.
Okay. So what is your favorite sound? What is something you love to hear?
I'd say wind in the trees, flowing water, like in a river, ocean sounds. Yeah, sounds of nature.
What is your least favorite sound?
This?
Wrong.
Okay.
Probably traffic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, probably traffic.
The horns and everything. Yeah. Okay, two more questions. Okay. Now, on the show, he asks them this question, and they say it, but they bleep it out. But you don't have to say it. You can just tell us do you have a favorite swear word? Like a go-to swear word.
When we were kids, we would say criminy sometimes, which is kind of like a substitute.
Yeah. Criminy's
swear.
Good stuff, yeah.
Criminy
so
sakes.
There's times I'll still say that. I don't know if that's... need to go to confession for that or not, but I'd say that's it.
Okay. And so usually this is the last question he usually asks. What do you want them to say to you at the pearly gates when you get there?
I'd say we love you. Mm-hmm. You know, you messed up in life, but you did your best, and you did your best to love God and to love others. And we love you, and we're bringing you in. So. Yes.
Who wouldn't like to hear that?
Exactly.
You know, I should have said the creaking of the gate opening, right? That's the sound we want to hear at that point.
Oh, yay.
That'd be a good sound to hear. You're right. Welcome, Bishop Don.
Where have you been? You know? Been waiting for you.
You know, you mentioned confession earlier. Do you give confession? Do you not take it, not receive, but you also give?
Both. Yeah. I go to confession. I try to go to confession once a month at least. See. And yeah, there's opportunities where I still... hear confessions of other people.
I wasn't sure. How does that? How do you resonate with that when you hear somebody else's confession? You've been doing it for so long now as a priest, obviously. Maybe 20 years? 28 years. Okay.
I think any priest will tell you that celebrating confession is one of the most momentous experiences in his life.
Really?
Because people will come in. I mean, some of the most powerful moments. Somebody will come in and say, "I haven't been here in 28 years," and they can lay down the burden of their guilt, their pain, their suffering, and not pick it up again. So it's just like in those moments, I just think that's why I'm a priest.
I see.
To help people find healing.
I see.
And sometimes people are afraid, you know, if I tell the priest my sins, he's going to think badly of me. Or
of
next time he sees me, he's going to think of everything.
Of course. You'll get a double look in church. Yeah.
But there's nothing anybody can tell me I haven't heard, number one. Number two, we're there to be instruments of God's mercy at that point, not judgment. And number three, God really gives us amnesia. So I seriously forget what people tell me.
I see.
And
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a moment of reconciliation and goodness for people. So
that's a gift to have that even in general society, even in public. If you could do that, if you can go out with somebody and hear this stuff without being so judgmental mm-hmm. or gossipy after the fact.
Sure.
Not that we're all yeah. priests, but we could be priestly of some kind, right. can't
and
we?
And I could see it really helping people to get stuff yeah. off their chest.
Yes.
You know,
of course,
like
and you
could
experience
lifted.
This firsthand
right.
too.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, let's use that to segue into the Diocese of Gary. When I chatted with you over dinner, you mentioned that the Diocese of Gary is going through its first ever synod.
Yes, synod, the word is S-Y-N-O-D. It comes from the ancient Greek, and it means walking together. And if you look at the history of the church, we've always had meetings, we've always had councils, we've always had groups of people coming together to discern kind of God's will and the future direction of the church. First Council of Jerusalem is already narrated in Acts of the Apostles. So a synod is, for a diocesan synod, it's a local gathering of the church, most often to kind of reflect on where is God calling us and how can we better respond to the needs of the times and how can we more profoundly proclaim the gospel of Jesus to people today? So it's not necessarily changing the content of the message, but it is changing oftentimes our methodology, speaking of means of communication.
Yes.
So obviously how we communicate, how we think is very different in 21st century America than in first century Jerusalem or 11th century France or even 20th century America.
Yeah.
So the synod has got five phases. The first, I wrote a letter that came out a year ago outlining eight fundamental missionaries of the church's life. So proclaiming the gospel, evangelization, marriage and family, formation and education, social justice, are some of them, stewardship, leadership, vocations, and just affirming wonderful things I've seen here in our diocese, but also raising questions and lifting up challenges. Second step, there was a parish session in every one of the 72 parishes of our diocese last October, where people came together and just reflected on these issues. There are about 3,200 people collectively that did this throughout the diocese. We have 13,000 pieces of data that we collected from those gatherings. That's being synthesized and now prioritized and put together both on the deanery or district level, and then in June there'll be a diocesan-wide synod. So the fruit of all this will be a long-range pastoral plan to guide the life of the church here for the next 10 years.
I see.
So here's what we're going to do.
And give listeners just an example or two of what some of these issues might be.
Some of them would be, how do we support marriage and family? How do we reach out to members of our congregations that are divorced or separated? You know, how do we look at the formation of our children? How can we better evangelize Catholics that don't go to Mass or are alienated from the church? How do we better serve the needs of the poor? You know, how do we articulate the church's teaching on sexuality? You know, affirming both our love for everybody, no matter where they're at, but also saying there's some fundamental truths here about the human person.
So these issues are not only timeless, but some of them are timely also to address things that are going on currently in America?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or currently in this region, at least?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
clearly so. But
yeah.
Any given Sunday in America, 7 out of 10 Catholics are not at Mass. Mm. So
wow,
how do we engage them? Right. Imagine inviting 10 people to your house for dinner. And 7 don't show up.
Just the Catholics wouldn't show up.
Right.
So atheists and agnostics, they love the free food. But
So even on Christmas, you know, there's maybe 60 to 70%.
I had no idea that. Wow. Is that the numbers kind of crunched by Catholic Church in this country?
Yeah, those are the statistics.
Is that country-based or worldwide?
Country-based. And our Mass attendance is actually high compared to some places.
I would imagine
in Europe.
You're above average.
Really?
Right.
And also, why is this the first synod in of the Diocese of Gary ever? I would not have guessed that. I would have guessed it'd be the second or third or so. But why the first?
I'd say because there are a lot of work. So
yeah, okay.
Last time Archdiocese of Chicago had one was the year that the Cubs won, I think 1908.
Yeah, oh, right. Wow. Yeah.
So I always joked before November that maybe our synod would prime the pump and get the Cubs to win again, and it did.
And it did.
Wow.
So now we can attribute
all the credit.
Finally to this.
But I'd say because it's a lot of work,
lot of work.
Because if you take it seriously, it's going to take years and years to implement it. So the trick is going to be, how do we maintain the momentum and kind of avoid the two extremes of dumping too much on everybody at once, but also not challenging them enough where kind of the fire and the energy of this kind of peters out, burns out. You know, how do you keep passion going for longer than, you know, a moment?
Right. And have you noticed that this has attracted maybe more people into the core group of the diocese to get more involved?
In some cases, yes. And a lot of things that have surfaced at these parish meetings, parishes are already implementing. So I've said to our pastors, you don't need to wait for my permission or for the conclusion of the synod to do things. So I know of a parish, they now have a parish app, because that came up as a suggestion from a young person at their parish synod.
You've got to do that. Don't you have to do that? I mean, you have to be with the times and connect with these people at their level, so to speak.
Yeah,
and if they want to find you on a smartphone app, then they can still find you.
And I have to believe that even with all of our virtual reality and communication, that the human heart still longs for direct connection with people. That we still need community. We still need to belong. We still need God, and we still need each other. And church is just a great forum for all of that to happen, you know, for our people.
And I wonder if that is fading because people get this this misleading impression from social media and virtual worlds that they're getting their needs met. But I know it. I mean, I'm on digital media all the time. I mean, I have several social media sites, and I'm putting stuff out all the time about my work. And then I sit down with somebody such as yourself, Bishop, when we have dinner, and that was just exhilarating kind of conversation, even just for an hour or so, because it's that face-to-face synergy. You can't replace that.
It's a whole different dynamic.
It is. You can't replace that, exactly. So.
And I just find when people can talk to each other, if there's a conflict, it de-escalates things, right?
So, it does.
So I can just anonymously dump on social media about a group of people or an issue, but to actually sit down face-to-face with somebody and dialogue, I realize, you know, you're my brother, you're my sister. We have much more in common than what separates us.
It diffuses a lot. I've even invited some people who've been critics of myself and my work on social media to meet with me. And I literally say, meet me outside Lakeshore Studios when I get off of this show.
Yeah.
And we could talk and shake, because I'm pretty much guaranteed, unless they're really over the top, that we could shake hands, come to some kind of conclusion, some kind of reconciliation, and break some walls down.
That's what we need today, I think, all over the map.
Interesting.
For our culture.
Bishop Donald Hines in the studio on Casual Fridays, and we asked him every question we could think of. Karen, you have any other remaining questions?
I have one silly question. Have you ever met a celebrity, and who?
I met Chaka Khan.
What?
One of my assignments in Milwaukee was across from a blues bar, and they had a live Chaka Khan concert, and they asked if they could borrow our parking lot for the concert. So I said, of course.
Only if I get to meet her.
Well, they gave me tickets. So I went to the concert, and I met her after the show. So I met Chaka Khan.
I wouldn't have guessed that of all the people.
A whole list of people. I would have not picked Chaka Khan.
Well, she can be pretty surly, too, I believe, Bishop Don. You tie things together here. Well, we sure appreciate you being a part of
the
show.
Thank you.
You are more than welcome, of course, to stick around for the next segment, but we're going to take a short break here. When we come back, we're going to talk with a couple of pinball wizards who are going to the state championship tomorrow to see how they do against some other Hoosier pinball wizards. Stay tuned, folks. Listen to Casual Fridays.
Awesome. Thank you.
Don, it was wonderful.
Programming support comes from NIPSCO, powering Northwest Indiana through winds, storms, and anything else that knocks the power out. Text OUT to 444-111 to report a power outage. Standard text and data rates apply. Visit NIPSCO.com to learn more.
Programming is supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agent. Works to select coverage that provides financial security and peace of mind for what matters most. Offices in Hobart, 942-WEST, and in Gary, 939-9006. Casual Fridays is supported by Your Values Magazine, bringing local businesses, original articles, puzzles, and the front cover kit contest to residents throughout Crown Point, Valparaiso, and the Tri-Town areas. Additionally, Your Values Magazine now carries a feature column by me, Jerry Davich. More information available at yourvaluesonline.com.
Hey, this is Bob Saget here. I know it's exciting, and you are listening to Casual Fridays with Jerry and the beautiful Karen. And here's their home numbers.
Are we on?
We're ready to go.
Welcome to Casual Friday. This is Jerry and me, Karen, and him, Dan. This is such a good song. Our show and the lecture are supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency in Hobart and Gary, providing coverage what matters most.
Yep, if you missed any part of today's show, including our chatty
pinball
chat with Bishop Donald Hine. You can check it out 7 o'clock tonight. It's re-air and posted online soon. Check out all my social media
sites. Crazy in the corner here.
She's getting crazy in the corner here. Yeah, last weekend, Karen and I were driving down in Schererville, and we stopped at Tyler's Tender, which I've never been to before, on US 30 in Schererville, because there's an arcade there. And in the arcade is where this Northwest Indiana pinball or Pinball Wizards get together and they practice and play. And we met two gentlemen there, Adam O'Brien of Highland and Stephen Schultz of Portage. And we're invited them on our show because not only do they play a mean game of pinball, much better than I ever did, even especially in my youth, but they're going to the state championship tomorrow down in Lafayette to compete against, I believe, 14 other Hoosier players to go to the national tournament in March in Texas. So, Adam, are you with us? Welcome to Casual Fridays.
I am. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you being on the show and also showing some of your skills because, you know, when I walked into a JJ's Pizza a month or so ago, the one in Valpo and Portage, I go to all of them, I guess, both of them have pinball machines. And I asked one of the staffs, I mean, who plays these pinball machines? I mean, I thought they were like dusty, nobody plays them anymore. And they said, oh, no, we got a lot of regular players here, and you are one of the regular players who are playing pinball. Is pinball still alive and healthy?
It is. Pinball is actually in the midst of a resurgence right now, a lot of people say. We had leagues growing all over the place, new leagues showing up all over the country, and new pinball machine companies, manufacturers, releasing new games all the time.
When did this start, Adam? Has it a couple of years ago or a few years ago?
The resurgence, yeah, it probably started, I would say, probably about 5 years ago.
And but you didn't. Were you playing pinball 5 years ago?
I wasn't. I only started playing about 3 years ago. you know, the league has been around for 6 or 7 years, and, you know, competitive pinball and the professional amateur associations that govern it have been around for longer than that.
You know, a subject like playing pinball is interesting because when Karen and I visited you at that Tyler's Tender restaurant in the arcade, I could usually ask questions to like a tree for like an hour and a half. That's the running joke.
I can interview a tree.
I can interview a tree if I have to. But Karen had more questions than I did because it taps into all of our kind of youth. Like, who hasn't played pinball in their
life?
Well,
yeah, it's just one of those. For one thing, it has been a while till I actually like looked at a pinball machine. And the new pinball machines in you and Steven were so gracious and answered all my silly questions. But they had at Tyler's Tender, they had one, you said that was from the 70s, they had one from the 90s, from the early 2000s, and from, 2015?
Right.
And they are quite amazing, the new ones they have out. I mean, literally, the bells and whistles. It's crazy. It's really a sight for the eyes.
Yeah, they've really advanced recently. They're putting more and more stuff and doing more and more technology all the time.
Mm-hmm. Are certain machines harder to beat, I guess, than other ones?
Yeah, absolutely. Some games play a lot faster. Some games are designed in such a way that missed shots will, you know, direct the ball directly to the out lanes or down the middle, so that you have to be more accurate because every miss has a greater chance of costing you your ball.
Well, let's weave into the conversation Stephen Schultz of Portage, who also we met at the Tyler's Tender, and he's also competing tomorrow in the state championship. Stephen, welcome to Casual Fridays.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We appreciate you being on the show. I have a question for you is when you guys were playing the Spider-Man machine, you had like 9 million points, I think. It was like ridiculous.
I know.
Oh, gosh.
And I thought, you know, you must be like 3.5 hours to get there. But there's different values for different points, different machines, correct?
Correct. Yeah, if you know the proper sequence to hit the different shots, they're worth a lot more. I mean, you can play, if you're not hitting the right shots, you can play forever and not rack up any points. But if you know the proper sequence and what to do, that's one of the big parts about if you want to become a competitive pinball player is the strategy on different machines. And that's where, I mean, I've only been playing for a couple of years, and if you play against some of these pros, I mean, I've asked, there's, you know, hundreds of machines out there, and I asked one of the best players in the world, and he said he has a legitimate strategy for every machine.
Oh my
out
wow.
there.
That's
and
very impressive.
Like that,
yeah, that
just
is.
Blows my mind because I have a strategy on about 10 machines.
you know,
how many different machines are there that you'd have to make a strategy for?
Well, that's the thing with pinball is like Stern comes out with three different machines on average every year. So, I mean, you're talking since pinball's been out there. I mean, there was, well, I mean, Adam would know better than I would, but I mean, there was Williams and Bally, and there was a bunch of different companies in the early 80s and 90s and stuff like that. And if they're each coming out with three different machines.
You do the math, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So do you know what kind of machine you will be playing on tomorrow?
Yeah, they're just the ones that are public at Main Street Amusements down in Lafayette.
Okay.
I think he has 26 pinball machines there.
And they're all of the same, they're all the same. You know, you're not going to get stuck with one from like 1972, that like sticky flipper.
The one I played
stuff,
when
right?
I was a teenager. The one that I beat the hell out of those flipper paddles, probably. I get so mad from the tilting.
He has a pretty good mix between new age and old ones. I know he has one called Spanish Eyes that is pretty old, and I think there's King of Diamonds, I think, is older than that.
Mm-hmm. That sounds
and
old.
It does. It does. What I didn't realize is that in order, when you build up the finesse and the strategy to play these games, you're allowed to bump the machine, which I thought that was cheating. But you can nudge it and bump it and hit it. And
only to a certain point, though, right, guys?
Yeah,
right.
A lot of people do believe that nudging is illegal, but that's all set up by the operator on how much he wants to let you nudge it. There's a tilt bob in there, and if it makes contact with the switch,
mm-hmm.
it warns you and tells you. The old machines didn't warn you; they just shut off.
Uh-huh.
Newer machines will give you one or two.
Stop nudging me, you know.
But that's all up to the operator too. He could shut that off, and like the newer ones by JJP, they only allow you tilt warnings per game, whereas Stern allows tilt warnings per ball.
Oh.
So there's even difference between manufacturers there.
And if you want to watch a video of the guys in action in a way, feel free to check out my Chicago Tribune webpage or my Facebook page. I posted a video about that just to give you a little taste of it's not your grandpa's pinball games anymore.
No,
it seems like some
it
of the
really
stuff.
Isn't.
Back when I played, my strategy, quote unquote, was just to get a quarter's worth out of my playing time. I mean, I had no idea how to hit targets in order to have strategy. I just wanted to, you know, play for a while without getting so mad that I lost. Is it you still get three silver balls per play or whatever? Wow, that's amazing. This is so kind of timeless yet timely. Okay, so thinking for the state tournaments tomorrow, you're competing against, is it 16 total people are going to be competing tomorrow, right?
Right.
And how does that go? Do you compete against each other, or are you all lining up next to each other, or against in some
and
kind
they,
of
like, count up your scores?
Yeah. It's head-to-head, you know, 16 mm-hmm. plays one, 15 plays two, and down the line.
Oh, man.
You know, best of seven games, then it's, you know, just a bracket to go.
Oh, it's March Madness in February.
Yep, absolutely.
And then the Nationals, there's one player from Indiana who will go to the Nationals next month in Texas. Is that correct?
Right.
Have either of you been to the Nationals?
We've not.
I have not.
Have either of you been to the state tournament?
Yes.
Yeah. We both played last year.
You both played. How'd you guys do?
I finished ninth. What'd you do, Stephen?
I think I did fourth.
Hey.
That's good.
That's all right.
So
was happy.
Is there still a learning process, even though you guys have played so many, you know, you haven't played that many years, like decades worth, but you've played enough years to know, are you still learning machines and still learning strategies? Or has it just come down to like skill and talent, a little bit of luck?
All of the above, yeah. There's definitely luck involved. There's definitely skill and talent involved, but knowledge on every game is very important, but not only every game, but every specific game, because, you know, if you have a Spider-Man here at Tyler's Thunder, it will not necessarily play the same way as the Spider-Man down in Lafayette.
That's not fair.
Yeah.
You know, if it's leveled differently, or if there's more wear in one spot, the flippers are stronger, or the ball will roll differently.
Hmm. And I'll bet when you see little kids around the machines, get out of here, you punks. I'm competitive, you know?
I know.
Good God, here's a quarter. Go somewhere else.
That's go play the claw.
Go play the claw, exactly. Okay, guys, so you are part of the Northwest Indiana Pinball League. You guys meet at Tyler's Tender. How often do you meet there?
We meet every Thursday except the first Thursday of the month. We usually have a tournament instead on that week.
Okay. So if somebody was interested, they're listening to us right now, they're reading my column, and I already had some social media readers get a hold of me and go, hey, I had no idea there's a league in this region. How can they get a hold of you guys? How can they be part of the league?
They can either just come out, show up around 8 o'clock on a Thursday, or they can get more information at nipleague.weebly.com.
perfect. Mm-hmm. Well, guys, we sure appreciate you being on the show and being so welcoming to us when we came to visit you and barrage you with a bunch of stupid questions. That's what I do for a living, and I appreciate that very
much. And hey, good luck, guys. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, contact me how you do tomorrow, would you please?
All right.
Real quick, I think it should be said that last year a new form of league did come out that's kind of really been taking hold. It's called a selfie league.
Oh.
Because, like, our league meets every week, and it's a little bit of a commitment as far as, like, you know, a weekly meeting kind of thing. Not that you have to show up to every meeting. That's definitely one good thing about the way the league is run. But a selfie league is, like, so there's one in Portage at Lightspeed Hobbies where just any time that you're in the store, like if you're shopping at the store and you play pinball, you can take a selfie with your score and submit that. And actually, I linked on your Facebook page one of the guys that asked the question. I talked about the league at Tyler's, but I linked the selfie league.
I never heard of a selfie league before.
They're new, and they've actually been coming pretty popular because, you know, they're in places where people are normally, but just when you're there on your own time, you can play, and you're still a part of, like, community. So that works out for some people in different ways.
I'll be a league of your own.
Yeah, you're kind of reaching out to people who normally wouldn't be in a league, so to speak. Well, that's good. That's called a selfie league. Well, we appreciate the education. And like Karen said, good luck tomorrow.
Yes.
Let us know how you guys do in Lafayette, okay?
All right. I appreciate it.
All right. Mm-hmm. Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Couple of local pinball wizards. Who knew pinball is back? And it is. You're listening to Casual Fridays, folks. Jerry, Karen, and Dan in the studio. The bishop has left us, and you can just feel the presence is gone.
Yeah.
I know. The bishop has left the building.
Yeah, the holiness is not here, and now I'm just feeling sinful again, and it's just it's not good at all. Speaking of sinful, I'm going to talk about a column I wrote, hopefully it runs on Monday. It involves Portage Mayor James Snyder, who was indicted, as you know, in November for some corruption charges, and he's been catching a lot of flack for people asking him to resign, and he's not going to step down.
Mm-mm.
Because I think he's pretty convinced that he is innocent of any wrongdoing. And I think it's an interesting mindset to have, that kind of psychology. So I'm writing about it. And yesterday I just learned through one of the city councilmen that about his car, and I posted it on social media because I just wasn't aware of it, that there's a city-leased vehicle that he drives. It's a 2016 Chevy Tahoe, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it costs $866 a month.
What?
Because the city, it's like a leased arrangement, and the city council approved it
a
year and a half ago.
Car payment.
But I think just for general impressions of public perception, it just doesn't look good.
Mm-mm.
And it's even worse when somebody's indicted because it brings a magnifying glass to your life. Something else I'm writing in my column, that once you get indicted, any action you do, anything you do, I mean, you could even take an extra box of paper clips home to little Susie for a school project, and people are going to come
down on you. That's frowned
upon. That's frowned upon, exactly. So that's kind of the topic of my column, but I think it's a hot issue, and people are talking about not only Portage Mayor James Snyder and the indictments. His trial comes up, I believe, April 10th, if it still holds on April 10th.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, there's going to be like 2 months of speculation, including with the Lake County Sheriff John Buncich. He's also facing a trial, I believe, in April, Dan. You've been doing the news, right?
Yeah, and recently a judge said that he is not allowed to have his hold his firearms.
That's right.
Which is
no
an
more
interesting
sidearms at all.
It's the sheriff, and he is not allowed to
weapons.
Yeah, so, I believe his attorney, Brian Truitt of Valpo, said that this is like Mayberry. A sheriff needs a gun in Lake County, Indiana. But Buncich is not allowed to have that. So these are, sadly, it's a timeless topic. And once again, I keep promising we'll read some of the new book that Karen and I did called Crooked Politics.
We'll do that next week.
We'll do it next week.
That
it
is always timely.
It is always, sadly, it's always timely. We'll read a chapter or an excerpt or two about the book, and we'll talk about the current cases with Buncich and Snyder and how this is a timeless topic in Northwest. You'd think in this day and age and stuff, there'd be no indictments because who would
not even just here. I think that's nationally.
Of course it is.
Yeah, it's huge.
Of course it is.
A lot of corruption out there.
We'll tap into all that, I guess, next week. We'll keep saying promises next week, but that's for sure next week. But when the bishop says he's available to come on your show this week, well, darn it.
Yeah, you gotta make room.
Dag nabbit, exactly.
He's going to take my chair, you know?
He did.
Criminy.
I will give him my chair.
Criminy. Yeah.
Criminy.
And he was not surly at all.
No,
not at all. It was quite lovely, like breeze flowing through the trees.
Exactly. Yeah, his favorite sound. You listen to Casual Fridays, folks. We are at the end of our hour.
Already?
It's the fastest hour for a week, without a doubt.
Sure is.
So let's just thank our guest, the Bishop Donald Hying, of course.
Yes.
We hope you got a kick out of some of the questions we asked him, not being too offensive.
No.
And he's always a good sport, no matter what you ask.
Good guy.
He suffers these fools blood.
And also, good luck to the Pinball Wizards locally. It's Adam O'Brien and Stephen Schultz. You're going down to Lafayette tomorrow to compete for the state. And, of course, Susanna Flores,
yes,
the clinical psychologist,
yes,
talking about our social media. You could learn about more about that in my Sunday column in the Post-Tribune. Other than that, we appreciate you tuning in. You can listen to us again at 7 o'clock on Lakeshore. I'll post it soon on our website. And have a wonderful weekend and
have a casual Friday.
That's right. Take care, folks.